Greetings to all of our black people and to all beautiful people everywhere. We welcome you and the opportunity to spend some time together. My name is Dahari Kambon, a slave name of Ugo Pinel, and I belong to the Prison Black Movement. Our Prison Black Movement in California was organized in 1967. Our central committee, the nucleus of the movement, better known as the Black Council, respectfully selected W.L. Nolan as our chairman, Howard Toll as our co-chairman, and George Jackson as our political leader. We saw the need for three leaders because our movement was, and it still is today, of cultural and political roots. For more details on our black movement, please read my statement on black unity, the black movement, and the formation of the new man. The reemergence of our prison black movement today is a connection to our national and international black liberation movement. We are one indivisible and insurgent force gaining momentum to practice ideas we believe are in demand for our unity, our progress, and our freedom. Our beloved comrade, brother, William Christmas once said, if the ideas of one individual can be explored to great extremes, think how far we can go on the combined ideas of the collective. Christmas is one of three blacks cut down by enemy forces at the Marin County Courthouse in August 7, 1970. We must communicate, share, and explore ideas which can give direction to our black world. We must not think only in terms of survival. We must prepare correctly to challenge our enemies and overthrow their power and bring an unmistakable freedom that black people and the oppressed humanity can appreciate and exercise. For centuries, we have known and felt the ill effects of the capitalist and colonialist and neo-colonialist powers. And today, in 1981, when the war against black people escalates, the question that looms high above our heads is, how together are we and what are we doing about our situation? We need the full cooperation of all progressive black people to build and build properly, or else our problems in the Ronald Reagan era will multiply. The U.S. administration grows more repressive, more dogmatic, more racist every day, and we are in great need of unity and organization. Organized to survive, organized to prepare, and organized to revolt. We are not easy to die, as many claim. We are easy to be killed, and that's much different than easy to die. We have always fought hard to survive, but often for the wrong causes and often for the wrong reasons. The minute we rely on the control of our enemies, we adopt their habits and mentalities, and that means division for us. We turn in every way but the right way, and that kills our mind, which also means killing the body. Let us try to live for unity, dedicated to building our nation, progress in our movement, and we can leave behind a clear road for others to follow. We have to become more realistic to all matters surrounding and penetrating our black nation. Progress has been made, but when comparing it to the progress the U.S. government has made to further repress us, our progress seems non-existent. We are not wanted in this country, and our frame of mind should be one that recognizes this fact, and therefore we must use the system and its functions to survive and spread our movement for the inevitable confrontation, a fight for our freedom, for our justice, and for our peace. Our short-lived and painful history in the States can be written in large
chapters, but one introductory line holds the book together. That line says, the determination of blacks to prevail will depend on our flexibility to understand the dynamics involved in our progresses, backwardness, successes, and failures, and be ready to adjust, even if it means bringing it down to basics. Bringing it down to basics is really everything. Africa is our big, wonderful, and only true nation. However, 30 million black people in the States also constitute a nation. 30 million black people also constitute the foundation to our black movement. Our black movement is the platform to black consciousness, black unity, black purpose, black progress, and most important, black practice. We must take control of our affairs in the black communities. Black representatives in our communities must really show their value of productivity so that all blacks can support their efforts and be motivated to get involved in securing our social, economic, and political affairs. Community representatives must work relentlessly in the full interest of those issues concerning black people. We must bring it all back to our communities to improve our housing, academic, medical, employment, and recreation programs. To improve whatever needs to be improved. We can achieve this improvement by controlling our social, economic, and political affairs, putting in order the functions, projects, and progress of our communities will encourage blacks in all responsible positions to represent black issues, to truly represent those issues. We will encourage them or make them give way to our real black leaders of the communities to represent those issues. We have many dedicated, aware, and qualified blacks who can hold those responsible positions with open opportunities to begin taking control of our affairs. We must maintain clear purpose and direction at all times. We might as well make certain we have real blacks in all the available positions. We need a movement that can openly establish solid and reliable social, economic, and political statures. That same movement can have a military order of defensive and offensive units, and our black nation will support this military branch of our movement because it is part of our survival and part of our revolutionary process. With more control of our affairs, we can also cut down on the crime element in our communities. We can also effectively represent our brothers and sisters and other oppressed people in the courts of law for whatever the charges, and make sure the decisions and verdicts reach are the result of matters related to the cases and not the result of misjustice, racism, and outright frameups. I'm speaking of for real black lawyers, for real black investigators. We can cut down on the number of young blacks being sent to prison and to death row. We must quit being used as tools and for window dressing. Take Ms. Ruth Rushen, the director of the Department of Corrections. As progressive activists, it is not our policy to speak bad of our brothers and sisters or of anybody in the struggle or of the oppressed humanity, but it is difficult to overlook Ms. Rushen. She is the first black to occupy that position, and she is doing nothing about the escalation of racism and repression in prison. She talks about more money to improve conditions, and conditions is no longer the issue. We are not anti-conditions, for as you know, when we constructed the prison movement in 1968, one of our main functions dealt with prison conditions. We will always contribute to the improvement of conditions. That's no problem. But conditions, as I stated before, is not the issue. More important than ever, we need black unity and self-improvement to fit right into the functions of a black movement. As more blacks are put in prison, The department has put into full effect the politics of racism and repression. The prisons are rapidly becoming modern concentration camps for black and Hispanic people. They are either killing us in the streets or sending us to prison to be warehoused. More openly, the cliques of racist white guards collaborate with the cliques of racist white inmates to verbally and physically assault blacks. The prison department is aware of these activities in the same manner the U.S. government is aware of the activities of the Ku Klux Klan and of the Nazis. The reason is clear. White supremacists are highly employed within the prison administration and the U.S. administration, and therefore these activities of violence against black people are supported rather than rejected. We are being pushed into a race war. The only difference between the German fascist regime of the 40s and the present-day capitalist system regime of the U.S. lies in the approach to organized violence against oppressed people. One is upfront and the other uses diplomatic tactics, but both with the same deadly intentions. So I say, never mind the conditions. Let's be concerned with significant factors. Folsom Prison has no blacks in its administration, and the highest ranking black employees are one lieutenant and one psychiatrist. The black guard at Folsom is discouraged and intimidated from saying or doing something about the mistreatment of black prisoners. We are talking about racism, mistreatment of black prisoners. All over the California prison system, black prisoners are being set up, harassed, provoked, and outright mistreated by white guards. Black prisoners are being divided, isolated, and accused of exaggerated charges. Black prisoners are hauled into courtrooms because of their political beliefs or due to false reports or from charges in which blacks were racially pushed into positions to defend themselves. If black prisoners are fighting white prisoners in the presence of a gun tower supervised by a white guard, more often than not, that white guard will find unjust reasons to justify the shooting of one or more black prisoners. We don't believe anyone should be isolated, mistreated, set up, or indicted because he is disliked, or because of his political beliefs, or because of the color of his skin, or for any reason. But this is what happens to black prisoners. Because racism and politics are a double-edged instrument that cuts right into and through the lives of black people. So I ask you, brothers and sisters here today, who communicate with black prisoners and all those who should, to encourage us to come together as one big movement. Encourage us all over the prison system to organize so that we have more control of the things that happen to us. We in the Folsom Max Security Section have put together a petition stating the things we feel should be attended to if black prisoners are to stop being mistreated. And we have signed this petition. We want you to see it. We intend to have copies sent to prisons everywhere in California, and we are going to ask prisoners, black prisoners, to make a similar petition, adding whatever they see is necessary that deals with mistreatment of blacks, and acquire signatures from a large number of blacks, as many as possible, and then please send each petition from each section of each prison back to the address indicated, and we'll get this petition to be represented in Sacramento. I am asking for a lot, I know, but I am always expressing to everyone that the black prisoner is the mainstream of our black struggle. And this far, only a few have really contributed to our black struggle. I appeal to the brothers and sisters out here to inspire those inside the walls to get involved in the important matters relating to the mistreatment of black prisoners. What I ask is perfectly legal and human. I am not asking prisoners to tear down anything or to jeopardize any good time. I am asking for black prisoners to improve and to organize so that we can be constructive forces to our black communities when released from prison. The black movement is in the streets and in prison. to be one black movement, one black force, and we must work together in the proper order that guarantees progress regardless of our physical location. If enough blacks speak of black unity, of a black movement, of taking control of our affairs, of black practice, and if we don't pay mind to it and remain divided and disorganized, some chapter of our history will indicate we partook in the episodes of genocide, repression, decadency, malpractice, betrayal, and attrition against our black society. We will be the 20th century educated slaves who consciously damper our chances to survive and to live free. We must struggle together and organize. I am approaching the end of my speech. You can consider or disregard my ideas, but the manifestation of better ideas will still be left up to our brothers and sisters, because my purposeful intention is to make you understand we need a movement and we need to take control of our affairs to put our movement in correct motion. We can continue to move backwards or continue to stand idle waiting for freedom to be handed to us. I know that I'm talking fast, and I hope you're understanding everything, but I'm trying to make time so that I can say what I have to say and that other people have a chance to say what I have to say, so that before the night is over with, everybody will have the opportunity to get across the points that they want to express to you tonight. We are progressive activists, and we embrace and support the national liberation struggle of all oppressed people the world over. Right here in the States, we encourage and support the movements of other oppressed people. We are not segregationists. This benefit was made possible thanks to black people, thanks to third world people, thanks to white people, and that's a good indication that people can work together. And tomorrow, if all the movements of people who believe in real change can come together, we can have a class struggle, a people's revolution. But people also know that our black people are being oppressed all over the world, and that's why we need a black movement in control of our own affairs. Because if for some unexplainable reason the people don't come together to fight a people's revolution, the black people, no matter what, will have to fight this imperialist system and its ruling class and any other oppressive force to gain our true freedom, our true justice, our true peace. That is the reality of our situation. We want to send our warmest regards and support to all brothers and sisters and all oppressed people and people of revolutionary struggle who face trials of political nature and trials of pronounced misjustice. Some of the people who come to mind right now are the Pontiac brothers in Michigan, Kiko Martinez in Denver, Colorado, the Puerto Rican 11, Warren Jordan, Ernest Graham, and Eugene Allen, and the possibility of Larry Justice and Earl Gibson, because even though these brothers have won a victory in the appellate court, the chances are there is some indication that maybe the Marin County is willing to retry this brother. And we want you all to support everyone because they need this support. We appreciate your spiritual support and understanding, and hopefully, starting tonight,
we all can begin to project that the building of our nation, the organization of our black movement, and the control of our own affairs and our community is essentially a given reality. Thank you very much.
meeting with Edward Brooks. I am presently being held captive on the first tier of the maximum security housing unit at Folsom State Prison. I greet you all in love, strength, solidarity of spirit, and determination to win. And we thank you all for coming. I'm not a speech maker, so I ask you to bear with me while I attempt to express what I feel in my heart. As things continue to get progressively worse for our peoples, the need for us to come together and take the initiative on all levels is obvious. Taking the initiative, that's the bottom line. Take the initiative to advocate, practice, and spread unity. Take the initiative to organize on all levels, including militarily. Take the initiative to defend our people, to avenge our people, and to fight aggressively and effectively for our peoples, and to teach our peoples to do these things for themselves. The things that are happening in San Leandro, in Contra Costa County, in Buffalo, New York, in Atlanta, Georgia, and all over this land to our people are happening only because we allow them to happen. Instead of taking the initiative to build a force that will protect, avenge, and fight for our people go to the American police, FBI, and government to seek an illusion of justice. These are the same forces that have been killing us and causing us to suffer for centuries. They're still doing it today, and they intend to keep on doing it. They have no choice because they want no choice. There are no real jobs for black people and other poor peoples, especially the youngsters. And the job market continues to shrink as inflation and automation take over. No human being with the will to live and survive is going to just sit back and starve to death or be uncomfortable with his or her material situation. And so we take what we need and want, like we're supposed to. Our enemies know this because they created the situation. And they attack us on many levels with their police agencies, their courts, their prisons, with their racist henchmen. And the media influences peoples to accept, expect, and condone white violence against black people and other peoples of color. These attacks are going to increase because they have no more use for most of us. Like Sister Asada Shakur said, we are expendable. So we have no choice but to build our own forces to fight our enemies on all levels for the dignity, independence, and the positive self-determination we so richly deserve. I read in the newspaper last month that the white male convicted of gunning down four elderly black women in Chattanooga, Tennessee last year was given a time cut and released from jail after doing about 7 months. 7 months. We all know what happened with the Nazi Klansmen in Greensboro, North Carolina, and of course the five police involved in the Miami and Florida incident. Our enemies have made their position clear again. It is up to us to make our position clear. We will never tolerate misjustice and disrespect. We will fight them till we achieve our goals. But I say to you that we must build strong, righteous, solid foundations in order to fight effectively and win. Our foundations must be of righteous love, unity, organization, and understanding of one another. This is easier said than done because we are so caught up in our own egos, distractions, and looking for negative things in each other that we don't even trip off the very real threat to us, our children, and our generations to come. So we have to realize that when it comes down to it, one of the biggest struggles is within oneself. Overcoming the distrust, paranoia, disrespect, insecurity, defensiveness, and other negative habits toward each other that we have picked up during the years and centuries of dealing with the hostile, selfish environment of American values. We have our own values, values which have become confused and sometimes lost in this money-mad society. Our values of community, of sharing, of respecting and looking out for one another, of attacking those who prove to be our enemies, of retaliation and retribution, of looking out for our children and teaching them our values, of respecting and looking out for our elders in the family, in the neighborhood. These values and many more have always made us a strong, wise, proud, glorious, and humane people. We must take the initiative to restore righteous strength to these values and add to them the things that we have learned. This is what we mean when we speak of the new man and the new woman. The conditioning that we have been subjected to in this land goes much deeper than many of us realize. So we must all take the initiative to struggle with ourselves in a positive manner, continually and consistently, while at the same time struggling with those who are with us to overcome the negative habits we have picked up in our life experiences and the negative environments we have been exposed to. The barriers that we have erected within ourselves to keep one another at a distance, to keep from getting hurt emotionally, must be torn down. We must learn to trust one another and help one another. I'm not saying we should just open up and trust anyone who comes along. That would be foolish in view of what we know about our enemies, COINTELPRO and other programs to destroy our movement. But we must open up to and trust those who are close to us and who have shown their sincerity to help our movement grow. It's not a personality contest, but we must struggle to develop positive personalities and attitudes. Being friendly is the most sophisticated way to behave. One must be approachable and develop the capacity to listen. To me, the ability to listen is at least as important as the ability to talk. We have to listen to our people's problems, ideas, and so forth in order to work with them. But our actions can do our talking for us, perhaps even more effectively than our mouths. We must strive to bring positive things into other people's lives. It is our attitude to reach out and pull, and one cannot really be a bright and pulling force if one is negative. We find that the more we concentrate on helping others, we help ourselves. And the negatives in our minds and hearts fade away because they have nothing to feed on. Look for the positives in our brothers and sisters and help them to develop them. Righteous love, righteous loyalty, righteous commitment to one another. These are the principles that move us forward and unify us when they come from the heart and spirit. I sense that this is something that we all desire, but life in America has conditioned us in a negative way. We have all been disappointed and discouraged many times in our lives, and at times disillusionment has crept in. But so what? Does that mean we should give up? No, never. We must strive and struggle till we get it right, and we will get it right. Our very survival as a people, as a nation, depends on it. We must constantly think of the children and the generations to come. We are their servants, and it is our duty to do all we can to build something solid and positive for them in order that they can continue where we leave off. This is what our parents and our ancestors did for us. Many of us, in rebelling against the negative things our parents taught us, also mistakenly rejected the positive things like sharing, caring, compassion, and so on. Because we felt it was a dog-eat-dog world and everybody was looking out for number one. This may have been true, but look at the result. When in our history have we ever had so little regard for the life and the blood of one another? Just read the newspapers or trip the streets in our neighborhood. You see what I'm talking about. It's all about the money or the next high. We got to change our attitudes and attitudes of our peoples at the grassroots neighborhood street level. We got to understand that the life and blood of our people is very precious. We must not take the life or spill the blood of even one of our people unless that person is working with the enemy or has purposely and unnecessarily taken the life or spilled the blood of someone else who did not really deserve it. Anything else can be worked out. The child molester and those who sexually abuse our women should be punished according to the amount of damage they do. But deaths, rip-offs, and so on can be handled without bloodshed. We must take the initiative to set up councils in the neighborhood to deal with those who harm our people and to deal with our survival like education, food, clothing, shelter, and other programs that need to be coordinated. These councils can be chosen by the people in the neighborhood, and those chosen in one neighborhood must work in a righteous and positive manner with those chosen in other neighborhoods. Our black business and our black problems are ours and ours alone. There's no reason for us to go to the enemy's police, district attorneys, and courts to solve our problems. It is not the enemy's business who the neighborhood council members are or what their detailed functions are. If the enemy is listening to this tape, I give less than a damn. These are ideas that should be implemented, and the enemy will never know any precise details of the initiative we all take. An enemy is anyone who deliberately stands in the way of human progress and positive development. No one is going to care about our black people except us. No one has our best interests at heart except us. No one will deal with our problems in a righteous and positive manner except us. So let us take the initiative to take care of our own business as we grow and develop into the new man and the new woman. Our young people must be given direction and told the truth about our situation in this country and this world. They're not dumb or naive. They know it's about fighting to survive. They can sense that there's an undeclared war going on against us. That's why these prisons, jails, YAs, and juvenile halls are so full. That's why the courts of misjustice are so backlogged. Our young people must be given righteous direction. Those who are comfortable fighting physically must be trained to fight well in order to be an asset to our army and our clandestine forces. Those who want to be doctors, lawyers, nurses, etc., must be trained to work for our people. Those who want to teach must be taught to teach the truth. Those who want to entertain must be taught to entertain and to educate through their entertainment in a positive manner. Those who want to go into business must be taught to establish and run businesses that will function for the best interest of our people, and so on. We must concentrate all of our efforts in building and solidifying our movement and our black nation. There are over 30 million black people in this land. How many of them are children? What will be their fate if we fail to act and build in their behalf? Now I must address this issue of labels and the disunity caused by the use of them. Regardless of our political and other differences, we must understand that first and foremost, we are black. We are black before we are anything else. Basically, we have the same long-term goals of righteous independence, positive self-determination, and the creation of a more just and harmonious world. This is what is important, reaching our goals. We must never allow ourselves to be divided behind labels and other bullshit, because the most significant political factor, the most significant label in our lives is our blackness. We are a people. A nation of people who have stood strong and proud throughout all that we and our ancestors have been forced to endure. We have been able to endure because we are basically a sensitive and loving people who look out for one another. We must take the initiative to strengthen these bonds among one another and among all who struggle with us in a positive manner. We must take the initiative to build up our clandestine forces to defend and avenge our beloved people. We must take the initiative to train and educate our children to prepare them for the world they must face and the harsh realities they will have to deal with. Our professional people must come and give time and services in the neighborhoods. Our outlaws must begin to look out for, protect, and avenge our black people who are not in a position to do so. We must all take the initiative in these matters. We must righteously open up to one another and help each other. These are simple thoughts and words, but they come from my heart. I feel them deeply. Each of us has got to take the initiative to contribute our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our abilities to the building of our black movement, our black nation. We must realize our own potential strength. To make Martin Luther King's or anyone else's birthday a national black holiday, it is not necessary for us to go to those responsible for his death. In fact, to me, it is disrespectful. Although I love and highly respect Brother Stevie Wonder's initiative in focusing on this issue, we have only to suggest among our people that we want this day, January 15th, to be Martin's Day. that we want May 19th to be Malik Malcolm's day, that we want September 23rd to be George's day, and so on. And people can celebrate or commemorate the day in the manner they feel comfortable. If other races don't want to recognize the day, well, that's their business. But these men and others live primarily for us, for our black people, although they are also humanists and internationalists in the deepest sense of the words. We must never allow ourselves to be rejected except on our own terms. Jet and Ebony magazines have a nationwide black readership. It should be no problem for them to run a poll or something to determine our black people's feelings on these matters. We must take the initiative to do things for ourselves, for it is we who determine the quality of our lives. Before I close, I must tell you that there are two important trials coming up in the near future. The trials of Shuja, Ernest Graham, and Lateef, Eugene Allen, will be their full trial on the same bullshit frame-up. They are accused of killing the prison guard in Tracy way back in 1973. That's damn near 10 years ago. And after two hung juries and an outright racist conviction that was reversed because of the racism, the state is still trying to give them the case. The trial of Faylock, Warren Jordan, will probably be held in Marin County. This beautiful brother of mine has been accused of stabbing the state's chief parole officer and the district attorney from Los Angeles during his parole hearing at San Quentin. Faylock has been in the hole since 72, yet this DA comes all the way from L.A. to make sure that Faylock is denied the parole he should have had long ago. I urge all of you to support these brothers in whatever way you can. Attend the pre-trial hearings and the trial hearings. Contact the people who are working on their defense and see what you can do to help. We must make our position clear. We must let our enemies know that we will never tolerate their bullshit and that we will support one another at whatever cost. It is also important that we let our people know how important it is that we register to vote. We must understand that jury panels are picked from the voter registration rolls. And the more black people who register to vote, the more black people who sit on our juries. We are all we have, my brothers and sisters. It is up to us to unify, protect, defend, avenge, educate, and liberate ourselves. From the pits of hell, we reach out to embrace you in warmth, love, understanding, and righteous determination to do our part to make things better before we leave this old world. We ask only that you help us, help yourselves, help our movement and our nation to develop and grow. Jonathan Jackson says that when there's a big job of growing to do, the sooner begun, the sooner done. So let us continue to grow and move forward. Build to fight and build to win now. Walk tall, my brothers and sisters. Come together, walk tall, and stand proud. Better days are here. Inherit the wind and pass on the torch.
Sisters and brothers, the first thing that I want to say is that I love you. And the second thing that I want to say is that we can win. I want to deal with a few issues about men in prison. And it started off with prisons are no different from the street, except except one being a maximum security behind the wall, and the other a minimum security, the so-called free society, the streets. We are still affected by the same condition, man seeking woman, woman seeking man. I would like this opportunity to inform the sisters that the same man that left the streets are the same that will return. Many with the same concept, values, and morals, not all though, some of the brothers had gone through a transition. They are no longer that nigga, but they are the new man with a sense of direction that doesn't let their sexual instruments lead them around. Brothers who recognize the oppression of woman and through their part dealing with his own woman, and that he was equally as guilty as the oppressor. This is why the new man seeks the necessity in reconstructing his values. Not necessarily leaders, but at least they are for real men. Why is this the case? I would try to answer that in general, being that I have the basic outlook and that I am one of many brothers in these camps that recognize a bit of the problem men go through. There are two sides to this, the pro, the positive, and the negative. For too long have the sisters only seen the development of the man without seeing the regression in the man. Prisons, jails, is against nature, natural nature. By now, we should all be aware of the function of these institutions, which are only designed to force a brother or a sister in submission. We are stripped of all moral principles, value, pride, love, the right to be treated as human beings, stripped of all families, stripped of our family and loved ones in any form of decency outside of the prison administration. They also use methods such as programs to keep us in conflict with each other and further divide us. So what do it all boil down to? Prisons are designed to kill the man in the man and the woman in the woman. There's only two elements in these prison camps. Brothers playing the passive role and the for real African progressive element, which are only a few. Now that we are aware, basically, of the administration part, let's deal with the different elements that are behind these walls. We have the progressive element. Basically, they speak for themselves. Not with just mere words that sound impressive, but through actions. These are the brothers who are boxed, thrown into segregation, or literally boxed, villa, coffin. The last one to get parole, the first one to be isolated because of their political views and their ability to mobilize the African man. Brothers refuse to accept any form of slavery by offering resistance. In dealing with all walks of life, some get involved in the struggle to become revolutionary pimps, meaning they obtain revolutionary knowledge for the purpose of exploiting by any means necessary. Then we have those brothers that get involved because of their fears
or just to get along. Now, I'm talking about just to get along with the brothers that's in prison. Then those that haven't any means at their disposal to obtain their materialistic values or the necessity that are required for his personal hygiene. So they become dependent upon the comradeship. What the brothers don't realize is that even if they did not get involved, we would offer the same protection as well. As much as one individual needs, so long as they don't misuse our kindness and concern. It is still the duty, our duty, to educate the brothers, these brothers, and give them the need to unify black cause, black love for black people, in a black movement of and for the people, in hopes that they may become a participant in African spirit and black consciousness. Some people are under the impression that regression or repression breeds revolutionary consciousness. This is not the case all the time. And we must always realize it is not the consciousness of the man that determines his existence. It's the social condition that determines our consciousness. Under these dehumanizing conditions, the progressive elements are not going to let, or we are not going to let, the black movement die. Let me not write about all our beloved fallen comrades. We're going back 400 years. Many have died, many. And if I were to take up this tape or this time to express that, we know what must be done. 400 years we've been dying. It's time to think about living and making things happen. Learn and use the lessons set forth in history. Participate, struggle, discipline are the key. Come together. I want to give you a quote from beloved brother, a fallen comrade, Comrade George Jackson. Many people use it. Many brothers use it. And it, let me start with it like this. It says, "Settle your quarrels. Come together. Understand the reality of our situation. Understand that fascism is already here. That people are already dying who would be saved. That generations more would die and live poor, butchered half lives if you fail to act. Do what must be done. Discover your humanity and your love and revolution. Pass on the torch. Join us. Give us. Comrade George, assassinated in San Quentin, August 24, 1971. I want to bring something to your attention that a sister wrote me. As dealing with numerology, this is dealing with the president of the so-called United States. He talked about the hostages, and they welcome home.